verse 1. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Eli, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. And in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away unto Assyria and placed him in Halah and in Habor by the river of Cosan and the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and the kings of Israel which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we pray that you'd help us this morning to preach. I pray that the Holy Spirit would open the heart of the hearer, that the Word of God might take root, bring forth fruit for the glory of God. My Father, we'll thank you this morning for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 17, it's the same story we've had now for about 10 or 12 chapters. Just chapter after chapter, king after king. One guy becomes king and reigns so many years, and he does that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. The next guy comes along, and he reigns so many years, and he does that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. Then one comes along, and he finally does good, but not real good. And then the next guy comes along, and he does worse than anybody before him. And the next guy after him does worse than he did. And then some guy comes along, and he does good, but not near as good as the first guy that did good. So the good gets worse and worse, but the bad gets worse and worse also. And so by the time you get to chapter 17, boy, they just wicked as hell itself. I mean, Israel is so decadent and so riddled with sin and so riddled with idolatry that you would not recognize them as God's people. Amen. Kind of like Christianity in 1995. We still have the name Christian, but nobody wants to live Christian much these days. And almost anything and everything can pass off as being Christian in 1995. I guarantee you, if our forefathers, if George Whitefield and some of those guys could come back, they wouldn't think 90% of us are saved. The way we dress, the way we talk, the things we'll read, the stuff we listen to, the stuff we watch on television, they'd think we was as pagan and heathen as the rest of the world. Amen. But in 2 Kings 17, things have gotten really bad. Matter of fact, Hoshea is going to be the last king of Israel. The kingdom is fixing, it's so into apostasy that God is fixing to take them down and mingle them among the heathen. And while there will still be a couple more kings for the nation of Judah, the nation of Israel, this is their last king. God is sick and tired of them. He's wore out with them. He's been through the mill with them. He's given them chance after chance after chance after chance. And God is finally fed up right up to here. And he's through. And this is the last king Israel is going to have. From this point on, from chapter 17 forward, Israel is mingled among the heathen, and they are the 10 lost tribes of Israel. They're lost because they're mingled among the heathen, and there's no counting, no reckoning of them by genealogy like there was in Chronicles. And so, as far as God's concerned, they're finished, they're through, and they're lost. Now, Hoshea knows God, knows all about God. He's born in Israel. And Israel has a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They still have a temple. They still have a priest. But down there, and that one verse said they secretly did those things which were not right in the eyes of the Lord. Israel maintained their show of religion. They maintained a pretense of worshiping God, but their heart had been enticed, and their real worship and their real affection belonged to somebody else. Amen? And so when Hoshea becomes king, things are in bad shape, but he knows who God is. He knows what God expects. And so Hoshea, of his own free will, of his own volition, of his own mind, has decided not to serve God, but rather to serve Baal and the gods of the heathens round about him. It's like living in America today. Almost everybody in America knows about God. You can turn on the television set and they got the 700 Club. And as wicked and as sorry and as watered down and as apathetic as television Christianity is, they do tell the story about Jesus Christ. And they do mention God. Amen? They don't preach it straight. They don't preach it strong. They dilute it. They water it down. They cut it. But at least the nation hears about God. You turn on the radio and there's Christian radio stations all across this country. And there's all kind of preachers on there. God knows you can hear anything on radio. I mean, you can absolutely hear anything. I've heard some of the wildest stuff. It sounds like science fiction to me to listen to some of the Christian programming that comes on some of them stations. Up here in Black Mountain, they got some of the wackiest wackos of all the wackos. And WPAR up here, I mean, sometimes they got two or three ladies that come on there on Saturday afternoon and honest before the Lord. I don't know where in the world they get some of that theology. They get it out of Mickey Mouse or one of them mystery books or something. You know, they read them Lewis L'Amour books. I don't know where it comes from. It don't come out of the Bible. I mean, I don't know what in the world they're talking about. But what I'm saying is, there's still a declaration about God and about the gospel on radio and in television, and there's churches on every street corner down here in the South, and even the Yankees got a few churches up there, and so that America knows that there is a God. See, our country cannot deny or say they never heard about God, have no knowledge of God. They know about God. This nation was founded on that Bible and on freedom of worship. And so our nation has a heritage of knowing about God, just like Israel did. However, they have chosen not to serve God. Not that they don't know. Hoshea knew. He just made a decision not to. And America's a lot like that. They know about God, but they have chosen not to serve God. They decided to serve all the heathen gods of the pagans round about them. Now look in verse 3 for a minute. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. Now in verse 2, Hoshea sins against God and does that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. And in verse 3, he becomes servant, he becomes tributary to Shalmaneser. You see, any nation and any people that decide not to serve God will become servant to somebody. Amen. Amen. When you know about God and deliberately, with malice aforethought, reject God and decide not to serve God, you will become a slave or a servant to somebody or something. Hoshea knows about God. He said, I ain't serving God. I'm going to go up on the hilltop and indulge in the pagan practices. I'm going to enjoy my religion. It's more popular religion. It's a more fun religion. And that's what I'm going to do. And so he participates in it. But he angered God, and God sent him into slavery. He made him tributary to Shalmaneser of Assyria. You see, folks, the honest truth is you're going to serve somebody. Yeah. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you have. I don't care what you think you know. You're going to serve God, or you're going to serve the devil. That's the only two options there are. You say, well, I just ain't going to serve either one. You already are. Jesus Christ said, you are either with me or against me. You either gather with me or you scatter abroad. There is no neutral ground when it comes to serving God. You are either in God's camp and you either labor and serve Him, or you are in the devil's camp and you labor and serve him. You say, well, I'm not doing anything for the devil. Are you doing anything for God? If you're not actively serving God, you are on the devil's side because you're dead weight. Amen. So Hoshea becomes servant to Shalmaneser. Now listen, if you don't live for God, you're going to become servant to sin. Now listen to me. You either serve God and God sets you free and makes you free indeed, or you do the lust of your father, the devil. The lust of your father is always wickedness and ungodliness, and that's the reason when people turn away from God, when a nation turns away from God, they choose to follow the devil. They always choose to follow sin. It's only two choices you got. You say, well, preacher, what sin are you talking about? Oh, any sin. Just name one. Just pick one. You know why you got a drunken nation? Because America decided not to serve God. And so they've got this god of alcohol that they worship. You know why America has a drug problem and we have a drug-ridden society? Why we have a subculture of drug addiction? Because America decided not to follow God. Amen. You know why you've got all the pornography and all the wickedness in this nation today? It's because when they knew what was right, they chose to do wrong. See? And so they've become servant to their sin. You hear people say all the time, well, preacher, I can quit smoking anytime I want to. But they never do. Amen. Why is that? Well, they're hooked on it. Well, I can throw these things down anytime I want to, yeah? And pick another one right up. Well, that's not tough, is it? Well, listen, anybody can quit. I've done it 100 times. It's staying quit that's the trick. Why can't you stay quit? Because you're servant to it. The Bible said, to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, him ye your servants ye are. So if you obey the devil, you're his servant. Amen. And when you give yourself to sin, you are the servant of sin. It's just that simple. I think I got competition in the back. If y'all don't quit laughing at him, I'm going to be mean and ugly. Now, Hoshea becomes the servant of Shalmaneser and has to pay tribute to him. And it's not an optional thing. Hoshea can't say, well, listen, I'm just not going to pay this year. If he don't pay, Shalmaneser is going to come down and kill him and enslave his people. Amen. Amen? People, listen, you don't leave your sin alone. Amen. You get hooked on something, it's got you. And you're going to pay the price for it. Fella gets hooked on alcohol. I was a drug alcohol program advisor. They're called a DAPA in the Navy. I went to school and took a couple 100 hours of pharmacology just to learn how to deal with drunks. And them guys, you can talk to them, and man, when they're getting over a thing, you know, and trying to get straightened out, they'll raise their hand and swear on a stack of Bibles that would reach to the moon and back that they're through. Preacher, I ain't never going to drink another drop. I'm through it. If I know my heart, which they don't, if I know my heart, I'm through with it. I'm never going to touch it again. It won't be a week till they're back out there doing it again. I've seen them guys take their anti-abuse tablets and swallow them, and then go sneak out and take something to neutralize it and go drinking. I've seen them guys in jail coming down off a drunk and got the DTs and all that and get somebody to bring them a jar of peanut butter. You know what they did with that jar of peanut butter? They took the oil off the top. You know how peanut butter oil comes to the top? They take a needle and suck that stuff up and get that oil and shoot the oil in their veins. I've seen them drink aftershave lotion, anything. You know why that is? They're hooked on it. They've become a servant to alcohol. The same reason you'll walk along. You ever see somebody quitting smoking? They've had one 3 days. They're a nervous wreck. I mean, they're just beside themselves. They just can't be still, man. They're a nervous wreck. Everything itches. Boy, they're grumpy and irritable. They can't stand still. They got to be doing something. And you know what I've seen them do? Now, why in the world would a sane man walk alongside the road and pick up a duck of a cigarette that somebody else threw down there and ain't got no idea in the world who it was or what they got and sneak around and get that thing and light it up? You know why? They're servant to cigarette. They're hooked on that thing. Just like Hosea has got to pay tribute to Shalmaneser, you will pay tribute to your sin. You know why you got the Bundys and that crowd in this country? Because they sit around and they watch this thinking television set with all the X-rated movies and stuff on it, and they get all that trash and filth in their mind. And then they go down to the movie house, and they go past the family section, and they go past the action section, and they go back past the R-rated, and they open that little swinging door, and they go in that little thing where it says adults only, and where it's got the X-rated movies. And they go in there and they get that filth, and they come back home, and they put it in their little VCR, and they sit there and they watch that filth and that trash, and it gets in their head, and it gets in their head, and pretty soon they're hooked on it. I read about one of them perverts, killed a bunch of boys down there in Florida. That guy had over 4,000 X-rated videos in his house. He just lived off that stuff. It had control of him. It took over. He was servant to sin. He said, "Well, preacher, you can quit if you want to." Well, let's see if you can. Look at the next verse. "And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hosea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Syria as he had done in year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him up in prison." Now in verse 4, Hosea tries to quit paying tribute to Shalmaneser. Shalmaneser is his enemy, he's his oppressor, and he's taking tribute money every year. And Hosea is tired of paying it. So he's trying to get free. So he gets So, the king of Egypt, and he hires him, he gives him money to come up and whoop the king of Assyria. Now, a couple things happen there. One, the king of Egypt could not whip the king of Assyria. He didn't make it. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, was more powerful, was stronger, had a better army than the king of Egypt. So the revolt was a failure. That's what reform does. Reform almost never works. People say, "Well, preacher, I'm going to quit smoking." 1 out of 10 does. 1 out of 100 does. "I'm going to quit drinking." 1 out of 1,000 does. "I'm going to start living for God." 1 out of 1,000 makes it. See? Reform almost never works. What we need is to be regenerated. We need to be made over again. We need the old man to die and a new man raised up in his place. Reformation is not the answer. What we need is a new creature. So, Hosea says, "I'm going to break free." But now let me ask you a hypothetical question. Suppose he had made it. Suppose the king of Egypt had come up and whipped Shalmaneser. What would have been the situation then? Why, Hosea would then have been servant to who? King of Egypt. He just traded one tyrant for another. He didn't get any freedom. He didn't get any victory. People say, "Oh, preacher, I've been going to AA for 5 years now. I'm a recovering alcoholic." You just got another oppressor. That fool's going to tell you you're a drunk to your dying day. Amen? That's what they tell you in the Blue Book. I talk to them drunks. I say, "Are you cured?" "No, sir, I'm still a drunk." "Well, how long has it been since you had anything?" "It's been 5 years. I'm still going to the meetings, though. And I'm a recovering alcoholic." "How long are you going to be recovering?" "All my life." "Well, bless God, that ain't no cure. That ain't no help. Well, if somebody can fix me up and set me free." Amen. "I don't want to be a recovering sinner the rest of my life. That old fella's dead. I want to be a brand new fella. I want to be a brand new man." Hosea, he tries to break free, he tries to reform, he wants to change the status quo, but all he's going to do is change one tyrant for another. Here's a fellow hooked on dope, you know. Got a, I can't think, my mind's a blank. Been shooting up on heroin and stuff. And so he wants to get free. He's going to reform. So you know what he does? He goes down to the local treatment center, and they give him this artificial heroin. I forget what they call that stuff now. Methadone. And they inject him with that. Why? It makes him feel like he's on dope. You know what that guy's done? He traded one monkey for another monkey. I mean, what? There ain't a whole lot of difference between taking heroin and to get a high, to maintain your sanity, You know, and having to buy it and get a fix than there is to have to go downtown three times, four times a week and get a shot down there and get taken care of. What's the difference? You still got a monkey on your back. Amen. That guy just traded one oppressor for another oppressor. Listen, I don't want to be oppressed. I want to be free. I want to be free. The Bible said, if Christ shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. That Bible said, wilt thou be made whole? That Bible's not talking about you trading one sin for another sin, one lifestyle for another lifestyle equally as bad. The Bible wants you to be set free from the devil and the power of sin. That Bible said, hey, and ye that are dead to sin, how shall ye live any longer therein? That Bible's talking about you being a brand new person. Not one person has changed this bondage for another bondage. Amen. People say, well, preacher, I've got myself straight. I've been going to a counselor. Now, you ain't free. You ain't been delivered from nothing. Now, every time you feel a little depressed, now, every time you have a bad day, now, every time you got a bad hair day, you know what you got to do? You got to run down to somebody's little office and sit down and tell that little fella how bad you feel and get him to soothe your feathers. You ain't free. You're going to be bound to that guy with the couch the rest of your life. Amen? That ain't freedom. That's not liberty. Can't make it on your own. Can't stand on your own two feet. Can't deal with difficulty. Listen, if you can't deal with the hard places, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Because if you live and breathe, trouble's coming. I mean, there's going to be days, boy, when things don't go right. You ain't going to have the money you need. And the kids are going to have you a hard time. And you and the wife ain't going to get along. And the job ain't going to look too good. And your health is going to look bad. I'm telling you, there's going to be some hard places. And if every time you come to a hard place, you got to run off to somebody and lay on his couch and tell him all your troubles and get him to help you through it. You ain't free. See, everybody is serving somebody. And from time to time, we try to kick it. Try to get over it. Try to conquer it. But in reality, what we do is swap one problem for another. And that's not what the Bible wants. That's not what God wants. That's not the solution. But that's the way the world handles things. Now look, he tried to revolt, and the revolt failed. Reform almost always fails. Look down in verse 5. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged the city, besieged it 3 years. Hoshea decides he wants to be free from Shalmaneser. So he hires So, king of Egypt. And So, king of Egypt, hasn't got what it takes. And so the revolt fails. And now, Hoshea is more in the grip of Shalmaneser than he's ever been. Shalmaneser is now mad. He's angry. And so he comes up and he takes Hoshea and he puts him in prison. And he ravages the land. And he besieges Samaria 3 years. Which leads me to say this. The consequence of sin and the ultimate result of sin is often not seen in a day. A lot of times it's a long, lengthy process. He besieged Samaria 3 years. That's 3 years it fell. Fellow lights up that first cigarette. He probably ain't hooked. You smoke the first one, you could probably throw it down and never smoke another one right then, right? Maybe after a pack or two. But you know, after a month or two, you're pretty much hooked. You can be as hooked in a month or two as you are in 20 years. And you know how long it might take that fella before the final result of smoking them cancer sticks comes about? It might be 10 years, might be 20 years. But down the road, there's going to be a price to pay for the problem. Shalmaneser comes up and besieges Samaria 3 years. Samaria did not fall immediately. It lingered and lingered and lingered and lingered and lingered. But in the end, it did fall. In the end, Shalmaneser did win.
And if you smoke them cigarettes long enough, sooner or later they're going to destroy that body of yours. And you'll pay the price in the end. You take the fellow that starts drinking, you can drink a six-pack. So, hey, I can take it or leave it. You know some people, though, that pick up that bottle and the first time they take a drink, first time, they're hooked on it. You say, well, I don't understand that. Because maybe that's not your problem. Well, I bet you something else got you. I guarantee you, if you don't live for God, something has taken charge and taken control of your life. It may not have been cigarettes. It may not have been liquor. It may not have been immorality. But I guarantee you, there's something down there that you have become servant to. Might be making money. Be anything. Whatever dominates your thought life, whatever motivates you to move in a certain direction, that's it. Hoshea's in a fix now. He became servant to Shalmaneser. Didn't seem so bad at first, but day after day and year after year and month after month, he's got to keep paying that tribute. And it gets to where it's a burden. And it's an awful thing. I'm going to tell you, you ever watch anybody get hooked on liquor? That's an awful thing. To see them lie, see them steal, see them sneak around. I was down at a place in Chester, I won't call the name, but a company we worked for. We were doing some work for them, and I needed to find the foreman. And I couldn't find him, so I was going to the men's room. When I walked in the men's room, he was there. And up on top of some pipes, he had him a little pint bottle. Calvert's Reserve, blended bourbon whiskey. And he'd sneak in there all during the day and get that bottle down and look around and get him a little nip. Stick it back up there. That fella's hooked. He's being besieged. One of these days, that drinking problem will cost him his job, it'll cost him his health, or it'll cost him his family, but I guarantee you, there'll be a day when the walls fall and the price has to be paid. It may just take a while. But sin always, always takes charge, and it always costs you more than you want to pay for it. Crazy generation thinks because it doesn't happen on the first day that it's not going to happen. Well, preacher, I've been doing so and so for a year or 5 years and I'm not this or that. Let's give it time. Why don't you open your eyes and look at society around you and see how many folks that thought the same way you did are now in trouble because of it. I read a thing the other day. They said every 17 or 18 minutes, somebody in America dies in an automobile accident related to alcohol. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every 17 or 18 minutes in our country, somebody's dead because of booze. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of heartache. That's a lot of destruction. But we can handle it. Listen, I don't know what people become servants to. All kind of masters. All kind of gods. Matter of fact, when you read that chapter, you find out that the... those people went down there, and every one of them had his own God. Look in verse 6. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria. The final result of becoming servant to Shalmaneser was to be carried away from your own country and your own people and your own way of life to live for Shalmaneser. To serve. The only purpose left in their existence was to please this king. You see, when sin takes control of your life, in the end, the only thing you're left living for is the master, whoever it is. You say, well, preacher, I don't drink, smoke, cuss, chew. I don't do dope and all that stuff. Yeah, but your master, if you're not serving God, your master's the devil. The Bible said you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You're either going to serve God, or you're going to serve Shalmaneser. You're either going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to serve the devil. And I don't know what delusion he'll send. And I don't know what sin you'll get hooked up on. And I don't know what he'll besiege your Samaria with. But I guarantee you, he won't let you go free. There'll be a price to pay. They get carried away. Look at verse 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, and had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. Now, why were Hoshea and his people in this terrible predicament? Was it just bad luck? Was it unfortunate circumstances? Just coincidence? Fate? That wasn't it at all. People say, well, it was just in the cards. Well, why did such a terrible thing happen? Well, it's just bad luck. Now, folks, that wasn't bad luck. It wasn't just fate. God did it to them. God did it to them. Why? Because of sin. The wages of sin is death. And when you or a nation, a people, a church, or an individual turn deliberately away from God and reject the truth, that is an old saying that light rejected becomes lightning. The wind becomes a whirlwind. And when you turn God away to live your life for yourself, I don't care what sin it is you choose, over and got killed. The school was having a day of mourning. The whole school. The kid probably didn't know 50 people. He didn't get killed on the school ground. But they then call in about 100 counselors to help these children cope with the fact that this teenage drunk got himself killed going down the highway. Oh, what we've done to our younger people. I don't know what in the world we've done to this younger generation. They can't deal with anything anymore. Can't cope with anything. You got to have counselors for everything. Bunch of pagan garbage. The reason for their plight was their sin. The reason our nation is in a mess it's in is because of sin. I've never seen so much wickedness in my whole life as you see today. I mean, everywhere you look, everything that's advertised has got to be made to look glamorous and exciting, no matter what the cost. If you want to sell razor blades, you've got to get a long-legged hussy to take her clothes off and drape herself all over some guy's shoulder and rub his cheek. What's that got to do with shaving your face, man? Amen. If you want to sell liquor, you know what you got to do? You got to show a beautiful woman in a seductive scene. What's that got to do with drinking? Everywhere you look, it's filth and degradation and wickedness on every hand. And our nation just thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. And then we wonder why our suicide rate among teenagers has gone up 700%. Why the prisons are full. Why the hospitals are full, why the psychiatric wards are full, why people are despondent. We got more people taking more dope for nerves than any other country in the world. I think half America must be on Valium and tranquilizer of some kind. You know what the problem is? Sin. Sin! Sin! Nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to preach on it. Nobody wants to hear it. Everybody wants to indulge it. Everybody wants to practice it. Everybody wants to sugarcoat it and glaze it and make it look good. But sin still brings death. Still makes slaves out of people. Still brings people into bondage. Still destroys lives. Still ruins families. Sin is still the ugliest thing on this planet. I don't care what you call it. You can be Jim Baker and call it a tryst if you want to. It's still adultery and whoremongering. Amen. You can say he's a social drinker if you want to. He's still got a drunk. He's a sottish man, according to the Bible. Amen. Sin has about ruined our nation. Now look down in verse 8. The reason they're in this mess is because sin. And walk in the statutes of the heathen. It amazes me. Christian people, folks that are saved, come and talk to you. And I said, "Preacher, I don't understand it. We're a Christian family. And I've got this problem. Boy, it's just so awful." And then when you look at their life, they're not living their life for God. They're living just like the lost people do. They're living just like the world does. They've got the same philosophy and the same habits, and they go to the same places and they do the same things, and they have the same problems. And then they wonder why. And you say, "Well, it's your lifestyle." What do you mean? I love God. Listen, your lot in life, your condition in life, is almost always entirely directly related to your manner of living. You understand what I just said? The way you live, the things you do, the places you go, what you allow determines the kind of happiness you have, the kind of sorrow you have, the kind of problems you have. Let me show you. I'll make it as simple as I can. Here's a fella lives in this house A. Here's a fella lives in house B. The fella in house A is a social drinker. Every now and then he'll drink a little too much and get a little tipsy, but he's not an alcoholic. This guy over here doesn't drink at all. And this guy this year paid 4 tickets for speeding, reckless driving, driving while under the influence. This guy didn't pay any tickets. Amen. And last month, they buried this fella because he hit a telephone pole 100 miles an hour, drunk as a coot. This fella over here is still alive and still got his car because he never touched a drop. Now, what's the difference in them two fellas? Their lifestyle. The things that they allow in their life. Amen. The way you live, determines the happiness and the success and the heartache and the heartbreak or the joy in your life. God's people run around and want the happiness and the bliss and the contentment and the joy and the peace of mind of house B, but they want to live like house A. You can't do it. You gotta make a choice. You live like house B, or you live like house A. You live for God, or you don't live for God. You live for God, you reap the benefits of a godly life. And if you live for the devil, you reap the benefits of an ungodly life. And those are only two options you've got. I don't like it. Too bad. That's the way it is. You have to live with life like it is, not like you want it to be. Look in verse 9. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right in the eyes of the Lord. You know where most sin starts? It starts in secret. Just think about it. You know where people get off the wrong track? Sneaking around, slipping around. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. I just use me as a case example. When I was a little boy, I had a buddy that started smoking. And he'd get his mama's cigarettes, Lucky Strikes, from little short ones, no filters. Powerful cigarette. But if you're going to smoke, I mean, get real fine. He'd get in a Lucky Strike. He'd sneak them. He'd get one or two out of his mother's pack. And one day he'd come up to the house and he'd come over there and kind of snuck around. He didn't want nobody to see him. He went like this. He had 2 cigarettes in his hand. So we went sneaking around behind the house and opened the door under the house and got under the house. We had a big cellar. You could stand up and walk in there. And we went in and we locked the door from the inside. And we got the matches. That's good. Now, if it was right and proper and a good thing to do, why in the world are we sneaking around? Because I knew if my daddy caught me, he'd beat the living daylights out of me. That's why. Amen. I started smoking, knowing that it was wrong, and therefore sneaking to do it. Amen. If it's all right for you boys and girls to sit around in the car and smooch and carry on and pet and touch each other and do all kind of dirty, perverted things before you get married, how come you've got to go to the river? How come you got to find a dark place? How come you got to wait till mom and daddy have already gone to bed? Because you know that it's wrong. And you're sneaking. Sin always gets started that way. I had a buddy who got me started drinking. It's always a friend, you know. He made blackberry wine. His name was David Hart. He's a preacher now, by the way. It's amazing where those preachers came from. David Hart and his dad died. And he was kind of rebellious and upset about it. And I don't guess he handled it well. I don't know what the deal was. But David had a drinking problem. He's just a young fella. But he'd make blackberry wine. And I knew he had it. Me and him would go out in his daddy's garage, close the door, make sure there was nobody else around. He'd take the toolbox out, and slide it out on the floor, and back in the back behind the toolbox was a gallon jug with homemade blackberry wine. And we'd get an old coffee cup and wipe it out and pour that wine in that cup. And we'd get over to the door so we could see from the garage back to the house, make sure there was nobody coming. And one of us would watch, and the other one would drink. Now, if it's all right, if there's nothing wrong with it, how come we're sneaking around to do it? Why is it everything you ever did in your life that was wrong, and you knew it was wrong before you did it, you snuck around to get the job done? See, it'll make a sneak out of you, make a liar out of you, make a cheat out of you. You know, if sin doesn't do anything else, it'll reveal our character to us. Amen? Some of us folks that think we're so strong and so high and so mighty, look at the things you have stooped to do in secret. Israel snuck around. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right in the eyes of the Lord. Listen, if you've got to sneak around, if you can't do it in front of your mom and daddy, if you couldn't do it in front of the preacher, you ain't got no business doing it. Amen. Amen. So now, preacher, what we're doing ain't really bad. It's really bad if you can't do it with a clear conscience. Amen. If you can't do it sitting on the pew at the church house, you probably ought not to be doing it nowhere. Amen. I mean, you don't think drinking's wrong? Why don't you bring your beer down to church? Amen. You don't think cigarettes is bad? Why don't you leave them in your shirt pocket when you come in the house? Amen? You think what you and your girlfriend ain't doing wrong? Why don't you do it there on a pew? Because it's wicked as hell, and you know it's wicked as hell, and your conscience tells you it's wicked as hell, and because you're wicked as hell, you'll sneak around and do it. And when you sneak around and do it, it'll get a hold of you. And it will handcuff you and chain you and take control of your life. And down the road someplace, one of those sins, I don't know which one, but one of them will have you bound up forever. And you'll be hooked on it. And it'll take control. And it'll destroy you down the road someplace. Verse 10 said, and they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. You see, they had a God there for everybody. Matter of fact, if you read the rest of that chapter, which we didn't, you'll find out he names all these people and the gods that they set up. There's a big long list of them there. And so-and-so had this God, and so-and-so had this God, and so-and-so had this God. And the devil has got a little false god for every one of us. For me, for you, your kids, your best friends, your grandkids. There's something down the road. There's a trap set by the devil. Catch them. To ruin them. To break them. To drag them down to hell. Preacher, that's a pretty awful picture. Yeah, it is. And that's the plight of mankind. And left to ourselves, we end up just like Hosea. Hosea tried to revolt, but he didn't have the strength. And the person he tried to hire to help him didn't have the strength. The psychiatrist can't help you out of it. And the marriage counselor won't do it. And they fail in the end. And ultimately, Hosea is carried away captive to Assyria and never comes home again. He's destroyed by sin. You're more fortunate than Hosea. Jesus Christ came to set us free. He came to deliver us. Not to just forgive us. Thank God he does that. But he came to make us a brand new creature. I don't have to be dependent on AA to keep me straight. I don't need a counselor to soothe my conscience and pacify me and encourage me. I've been set free. The bonds have been broken. The shackles are gone. The Bible said, and if Christ shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, when God saves you, he sets you free from the power of sin. You don't have to do what you used to do. Jim Lentz is fixing to come preach for us, and for 5 years, Jim Lentz was a cocaine addict, shooting it in his veins every day of his life. I saw a picture of Jim Lentz before he got saved. That red hair of his was about that long. Had it down to about here, and it was all bushed out. I mean, his head looked like it's this big around. Ugliest human being I've ever seen. But he got saved. And what methadone couldn't do, and what the counselors couldn't do, and what the drug rehab couldn't do, Jesus Christ did in a microsecond. Set him free! And to this day, 18 years later, he ain't stuck one needle in his arm. Why? He hasn't been reformed. He's been regenerated. The old Jim Lentz is dead and buried, and he's a brand new creature created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. It's not reformation. It's not calling the king of Egypt to come and help you out. It's calling the king of glory to come and set you free. You know what we need in our lives? We need Jesus Christ. You know what we need in our nation? We need Jesus Christ. You know what young people need? They need Jesus Christ. You know what old people need? They need Jesus Christ. You know what everybody in the whole wide world needs? The power of Jesus Christ in their life. He can set you free. You say, preacher, you just don't know how messed up my mind is. I know God can fix it. That Bible said, now listen, this is a question, boy. He said, wilt thou be made whole? You know what Jesus Christ offers to do? He offers to make you whole. Jesus Christ saves cripples and makes them whole. He doesn't save you a cripple and leave you a cripple. That's because you get saved, you won't be a recovering alcoholic. You'll be a saint of God. And the fellow that was an alcoholic's dead and buried. Amen? I don't know what your sin is, I don't know what your addiction is, I don't know what your oppression is. I know one thing. Jesus Christ can set you free. And you won't need another crutch. You won't need methadone. You won't need a counselor. You won't need a shrink. You won't need pills. He'll make you whole and set you free. He'll do what so king of Egypt could not be. Set you free. Goodbye here. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy. I pray that you would speak to hearts this morning. Maybe there's folks in this room that do battle daily with things that pull at them, tug at them. They've never been set free. Lord, you know, we believe that there are Christians who are free from the penalty of sin, but who are not free from sin. Things still in their life. I pray that if there be anybody here like that, the Holy Spirit would deal with them and set them free this very day. Set them free. Make them whole. Lord God, I pray for young people here. All the temptations and the things they're bombarded with day and night, night and day. The fun things and the gay things and the bright things and the intriguing things and the mysterious things. And I pray you touch their hearts and open their eyes. God, give them the victory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister, won't you come play this morning? We're going to stand and sing, "Just As I Am," without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Let me ask you something this morning. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, you are bound to the devil. And the reason you keep having to fight the same fight over and over and over and over and over again is because king of Egypt, ain't strong enough to get you the victory. What you need is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Let's all stand and sing. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. You need to come this morning? You've been fighting a battle? You ought to come. Listen, there is victory, and with victory comes peace. Just that. The peace you always wanted, the peace you long for, it's in Jesus Christ. But you're going to have to make Him your own. You have to sell out. You have to give Him everything. He can set you free. He can give you strength and grace to face any tragedy and any problem. Just as I am, boys and girls. How's it going? Huh?